Jeff Tate joins me today in the Radio Chatter podcast for the second time this year. And just like the first, we talk about a number of different topics, including ways he works through writer's block, a technique that was inspired by David Bowie. We talk about the best way to listen to his trilogy, the 30th anniversary of Operation Mindcrime, of course, motorcycle riding, and one of his biggest albums.
Yeah, it was a very well-received record. You know, it came out really at the right time.
Jeff Tate, once again on the Radio Chatter podcast today.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
Well, here we are, the 89th episode of the Radio Chatter podcast for 2017. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for your input. Following me on social media at MeltdownWRIF. Just a quick backstory. In January of 2016, I made a New Year's resolution to myself to do a podcast a week, every single week throughout the entire year. That was kind of a tall task. I wasn't exactly sure. As a matter of fact, I was pretty positive I wasn't going to be able to do that. Well, I called in a few favors, kind of got the ball rolling, made a few contacts here and there, like my friend Chris from Western Michigan, John Bobby here in the Motor City, and through help with my boss, Mark Pennington, and Jade here at the radio station, and some of the record company guys, I made it happen all the way up until mid-December when Sebastian Bach was supposed to call, and he blew me off 2 days in a row. Several months later, I found out that he was going like through some lawsuit with his ex-wife or something was going on. I'm not exactly sure, so I'll let it slide this time. This year, I had a New Year's resolution to check off two guys from my bucket list. I got one, Kid Rock. He's a friend of mine, but he wouldn't come and do the podcast until he was doing some shows here at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. He texted me and said, "Hey, I'm coming to talk to you. No trick questions." That's what he said. It's kind of how he talks. It's kind of funny. So anyways, I got one. The other one, which I'm not sure if I actually ever talked about, was I was going to try to get Axl Rose on. Now, I talked to Axl Rose before. I've got some connections to the Axl Rose camp, but nothing ever came about this year. And I thought, you know, whatever, man. You got to reach for the, you know, reach as high as you can and see what happens. So we didn't do it this year, but we did have a great year as far as the podcast is concerned. I had repeat people from everyone from Johnny Chow and Corey Taylor from Stone Sour on a couple times. M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold. Tom Kiefer, Dave Mustaine, had a couple guys from Metallica, James Hetfield, Robert Trujillo, as well as twice Jeff Tate. And today is the second time. But like I was saying, got to thank you guys so much for listening, and thanks for everything that you've, all the input you guys have given me. And I'll tell you what, Blabbermouth picked up 39 of my interviews. Are you kidding me? They should send me a Christmas card or something. But in all seriousness, I do appreciate it, guys. Hey, you know what? They give us credit, and that's pretty much all we ask for. We do this kind of for the fans, for everybody, to hear, you know, how these rock stars are in real life. And I hope that in some way, shape, or form, I ask interesting questions. The bands seem to like to come and talk to me. I try not to dick them around. I try to be fair to them. And I try not to be like, you know, gotcha questions or TMZ or whatever. I try to help them out a little bit because, you know, we're all in this together. And like I've said before in past episodes, I mean, some of these guys are just so nice. And I'm not just saying that. They really are nice. I mean, I just interviewed Tom Kiefer after I got off the air with him. I'm like, "Hey, man, would you mind if I stopped by and, you know, took a picture and said hello before the show?" He's like, "Dude, absolutely." Walked him beyond the bus. Me and my friend signed some stuff, took some pictures. Super nice. I mean, you know, the majority of these guys are really, really nice. So it's really cool that I get to do this for a living and that you guys listen. In the meantime, enough of me blabbing. Let's talk to Jeff Tate for the second time this year in 2017 on the Radio Chatter podcast. And the last time I talked to him, he had told me about this band named Yes. Oh, man, what a rabbit hole I went down. Hey, first of all, I think you owe me big time, because last time I talked to you, I asked you about, you know, if you could put together any sort of band to jam with out of any musicians of all time. You said yes. And so what I did was I've now gone down this rabbit hole and I've bought like 10 Yes albums and I love it.
Wow. Yeah, that's quite a journey.
I'll tell you, man. Yeah, it's like all these records I grew up, you know, I might have told you back then. I got back into vinyl this year, and 90125 and Fragile and Yes Classics and even Big Generator. I can't tell you how much I've listened to these records since I talked to you.
Did you listen to Close to the Edge yet?
I don't know if I got that one yet. Close to the Edge. Okay.
That's my all-time favorite.
Okay, close to the edge. I'm going to write that one down because, I went down this rabbit hole, and I've just been listening to all sorts of Yes and find out about their history and all sorts of stuff because of you. So,
well, great. Glad I could be some help.
Yeah, there you go. And also, I was thinking, too, it's like you're probably not used to this, but when I was supposed to talk to you the other day, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm talking to Jeff. Oh, that's right, I got to take my Harley-Davidson off the road because now it's, snowing out here in Detroit. Do you ride all year long, or do you take it off the road, or what goes on?
I just look for a decent day where it's not pouring down rain, and we have pretty inclement weather here in the Seattle area. It gets cold, but it's not cold like it is in Detroit. It gets like 45 degrees, but to me, 50 is probably my limit, 50 degrees. Anything lower than that, it's a short ride,
Yeah, I try to explain this to people that don't ride a motorcycle, but 50 degrees in November is colder than 50 degrees in April. It's just weird, like, how it works. You know what I'm saying?
I think so.
it's like in April.
I got those heated grips, and that really helps, though.
Really?
Yeah. Heated grips and heated seat, it kind of keeps some of your body heat in and lets you ride a little longer,
Yeah. You got to get one of those jackets. I think they make those jackets you can actually plug into like some sort of outlet in your bike and it heats your coat and stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It hooks right up to your battery. Yeah. And so you're plugged in and you sweat actually because it keeps you so warm.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we've got 10 inches of snow on here. So yeah, my Harley days are done for 2017, so we'll get it back
out. Because when you got snow on the ground when you got a bike, then you got to keep both feet on the ground when you're riding. That's no fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm not even. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine riding my motorcycle. I would dump it just leaving the driveway right now. It's ridiculous. But anyways, well, thanks for calling and taking the time here with us. And A New Reality is out, the third and final chapter of the trilogy. And I've had a chance to dig into this. And okay, you're gonna think I'm like bonkers, but some of the things that kind of hit me right off the bat was, I hear everything from Styx to Steely Dan to Yes, and even in one of the songs, I think The Fear I wrote down here, I hear some horns. I'm like, man, I've heard this before, like similar sounding horns, and Simple Minds comes to mind. You probably think I'm nuts, right?
I've got a huge record collection. I've got 10,000 albums and plus, I think. And, some of that stuff just seeps into your subconscious. And you never know when you're writing a song, you go, hey, this will sound good here.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah, it's the song A New Reality, I thought had a little bit of David Bowie feel with the way you sang it. And even like there's a sax solo and stuff in there as well.
Yeah, people have told me that. Yeah. Yeah, David Bowie is always very inspirational to me. I like the way he went through this process of songwriting years ago. He gave an interview about that. He took words that he liked and wrote them down on a piece of paper, then cut the words into little pieces and threw them up in the air. And where they landed, he'd take those phrases that were apparent to him right there, and that's what he would write the song around, those phrases. And now they've got that refrigerator magnet game. It's the same idea, that you can put all these different words together to form sentences. It's pretty fun. And I kind of follow that songwriting technique early on that kind of helped me get through some, rough times of not being able to think of anything. Get you at least on a start on a road,
You mean early on with Queensryche or early on in your solo stuff or this project here?
Yeah, just early on when I first started writing with the Queensryche band.
Really? So I never heard of that before. So you say they got words now and magnets, you throw them up at a refrigerator? I've never heard of that.
Oh, you haven't seen that? Yeah. It's the same concept. It's just individual words, and then you can put them in any order you want to form a sentence. And people put them on the side of the refrigerator and have fun with it. Every day there's a new phrase up there that somebody puts on.
Now, I would think that somebody like you, and I'm just spitballing here, I've never written a song in my life, but I would think that you kind of have an end goal, and as you're building these songs, you are kind of going towards that end goal using phrases and words and different things to paint a picture of how that end is going to, come about.
Bingo. You hit the nail on the head. Yep.
But how do you do that when you're throwing words up in the air? I guess I'm kind of lost at that.
Oh, it just gives you a starting place.
You know? I got you.
It gives you a sentence. A lot of times, you know, you're sitting there looking at a blank piece of paper or a blank computer screen, and there's nothing coming to your head. And this is a technique just to get you rolling, get that first sentence. Oh, wow, that's a cool sentence. And then you start, you know, going from there.
All right, I got you. Kind of a starting place.
It's a desperate attempt at creativity.
I got you. Yeah, when you're, I guess, what do they have? Writer's block. When you got writer's block, right?
Yeah.
You just, this is what you do.
Exactly.
I got you.
This is a technique to get you out of writer's block.
All right. Also, I noticed on this record, and it's been a while since I've listened to the other two, but it seems like there's a lot of bass on this record. I'm not sound, but actually the instrument, a lot of bass. Is that by design?
I suppose so, yeah. Bass is a really important instrument to compositions, and, you know, it's the root of, you know, what the song is going to be. So it's important. And, yeah, we had some incredible bass players on this record. John Moyer from Disturbed played on this, and Kelly Gray, who's also a guitar player and producer, played bass on quite a few tracks as well.
Did Rudy Zarzo play, or was he approached about any of this stuff?
No, Rudy had gone on to another project by the time we got rolling on this record.
And now this record, if I'm not mistaken, was kind of written. This was like kind of done for a long time, but you would put pieces, bits and pieces here and there, and then as they were to come out, you would finish them up and put them out?
Well, it was all recorded at the same time, all three records. And then what the record company wanted to do was release each record a year apart, and which is kind of a cool idea, I thought. And so it worked out nice because I didn't have to hurry and rush to get the mix done. All the tracks are recorded, so I could just sit back and play around with different mixes and get it to where I wanted it to be, you know, and then put it out. So it worked out great.
And so you're talking about some different bass players and stuff. How many musicians do you think were used in making of these three records?
Oh, gosh. I should know that. Sorry. I don't know the number.
A lot, though, huh?
I'm going to guess there was 12 to 14, I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah, John Moyer, man, he's done some other projects too outside of Disturbed as well. He's a great bass player. But yeah, as you're talking about bass, I'm just thinking about Empire, and there was that, and in that song, if I'm not mistaken, during some of the verses, you're singing, and just the bass is just going below you as the guitars kind of fade out.
Yeah, probably, yeah. There's a pretty static bass line through that song in particular with the bass and drums playing through it.
Yeah, so.
That's one of my favorite tracks, Empire.
Is that right? Yeah. Now that record, I mean, wow, what a great, we could talk about that all day long. I mean, just an awesome record. And of course, that was the straw that broke the camel's back as far as popularity for Queensryche, huh?
Yeah, it was a very well-received record. You know, it came out really at the right time. It was, 1990, and that's, the record industry was really running on all eight cylinders, and, you know, rock music was still popular, and we just had a good record and got a lot of radio airplay at the time. So, and it had a record company budget of $6 million for promotion.
Right.
That's, by today's standards, that's just unheard of. You know, it's impossible.
I was walking out
the record. I think the production budgets on most records now are like around $500.
yeah. That was back EMI days, right?
Yeah, EMI, yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing that on the radio, man, the EMI thing floating around in there. But, I was walking out of a building the other day, and I was thinking about that song, Empire, and I've never really looked up the lyrics to the song, but did you say he has an AK-47 for his best friend, or was that he got an AK-47 for his best friend? So his best friend was an AK-47.
He's got an AK-47 for his best friend.
I got you. Okay. I wasn't sure if I never understood if he'd gotten one for his best friend or if that was his best friend. So I get it now. Right from the horse's mouth.
These are details. These are details that get overlooked sometimes.
Is that right? That was that one of those things where you cut him up and the words just fell?
This is one of those. That's one of those diction things where the singer doesn't speak clearly and people misinterpret what he's saying. Like, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
I was just thinking the exact same thing. So of course, you know, my name on the radio is Meltdown. My friends have called me that for years. And I thought, how funny would it be when I meet Steven Tyler in 1994 after Living on the Edge had just come out, if I said to him, did you say Meltdown in the Sky or Meltdown and this guy in the song Living on the Edge? And he totally didn't get it. I thought, he's going to love this, or we're going to become best friends. And he didn't know what I was talking about. So anyways, well, getting back to you, I don't want to, you know, bore you with my stories about life. But so the record is out right now. It came out on December 1st. Now, is this one of those things, and I'm sure this is probably, I probably already know the answer to this, but where you can just, like, on a rainy day, sit down and listen to all three, like watching Star Wars, and just, like, go through and listen to the whole thing, and it's just one big package?
Well, you could do that, you know. I wouldn't choose Star Wars.
Well,
you know, something like Blade Runner would be cool.
Blade Runner, okay.
It probably would sync up really well with Blade Runner, especially the new one. The new movie is really cool. No, but I wouldn't even sit down. I'd be putting it in my car and taking a long drive. It's really a cool driving record. All three records, actually.
Yeah. And it's under the it's still under the Jeff Tate Operation Mindcrime moniker now. I just think I'd read somewhere that you're not going to be using that much anymore after this year or something.
Yeah, well, the whole thing was put together for these three records, you know, to present these three records, and so now these three records are done and finished. So I'll probably do something else, but I just haven't figured out what that is at the moment.
No,
see, you could put the. I can see the headline now. Jeff Tate doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of headlines. Yeah, exactly. So you know, speaking of Operation Mindcrime, that turns 30 years old. I know you're doing some tours over in Europe at the beginning of the year and stuff. Have you given much thought to the 30th anniversary of this classic album?
Yeah, actually, I've been giving a lot of thoughts, and my first show is the 11th of January, which is not too far away, actually,
right
in Dublin, Ireland. And I'm going to be in Europe till April, and then coming to the States in the late spring to start touring over here. So looking forward to that, and very excited. And to be presenting that record again after so long, that's hard to believe. It's been 30 years, huh?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you. I found the debut Queensryche album on vinyl somewhere. I've been listening to that, too. And that's 33 years old or something like that, man.
Well, the debut Queensryche album is the EP, and that actually was 82.
Okay. Do you ever think about your place in the prog rock metal world?
Never.
No, really?
I don't know if I have a place.
I think you got a pretty big place.
You mean like if all everybody got together for a dinner party, there'd be a placard with my name on it someplace at the table?
Well, listen, you like the guys so much from Yes, and I mean, you're obviously a big part of that world. I was just curious if you ever, obviously you influence a lot of bands, a lot of singers, and just in general, just a lot of people in this music business.
Well, if I have, that's a flattering thought. You know, as a musician, you know, you take from everybody, you know, you're influenced by all kinds of music that you hear, and you take a little bit of little pieces of songs you hear and add them to what you do. And it's a big learning process. You know, we're all inspired by each other. So hopefully somebody would be inspired by something I did. That'd be flattering.
Yeah. A couple of final things here for you, Jeff, and then we'll cut you loose. Are you part of any rock and roll fantasy camps coming up this year?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No, I've
seen you've done something in the past. I wasn't curious. I still wasn't sure
I
if
have,
you were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have done a few things in the past, and I quite enjoyed that. You know, it's interesting hearing people present your music, you know, interpret it in their way. And it's interesting to me how you can get 10 different people together and have them play your song, and they're all going to play it differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't understand why that is, but people hear music differently. They really do. And so it's interpreted differently, you know.
Well, I was talking with Tom Kiefer last week, and, you know, he does a version of Little Help from My Friends, but he does the Joe Cocker version, which is a totally different version than the original, which is kind of interesting, you know.
Yeah. It keeps twisting and turning and morphing into something else, you know, over time.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, we'll let you fly here. Have a great holiday. Enjoy your wine, and hopefully you can get a ride in or two before you head out to your tour in the UK and Europe and whatever else. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to spring because I'm going to do a bit of a ride while I'm in Europe. I'm going to do some riding in Spain while I'm there. So I haven't done that before, and I'm looking forward to it because they've got great roads and great scenery.
That is so cool. So you have it all set up? You got like a bike running and everything ready to go?
Yeah, I got the company already in place, and I've got the friends who I'm going with. And actually, I just got a email from a guy in China, a friend of mine, and he wants to do a ride across Mongolia. Wouldn't that be a trip?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
I'm kind of into that whole adventure riding, you know, going to some different places, you know.
Yeah, that is cool. Last time I talked to you, you were telling me about going to Sturgis, and one of the guys broke down on the side of the road, and then they had a gun and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I told you that story.
Yeah.
They had multiple guns.
Right. Well, you must
have. More guns than I've ever seen, actually.
You got to be safe out there on the road. So, Mongolia. Yeah, you know, Kid Rock one time, these fans flew into the United States, and he was telling me about this, that their whole dream, they were from Germany, their whole dream was to ride a Harley-Davidson in America, and he says they did, and he with his fingers on his face like they were crying, you know, riding their motorcycles through America. I guess we don't realize, you know, what a dream that is to some people.
Oh, yeah. Well, people travel. I just met some people on the Sturgis ride last year who came from Germany, actually, and they were riding to Sturgis and having a great time, and they actually broke down too. That's where I saw them, was at the shop.
Yeah.
Getting their motorcycle fixed.
They didn't have the guns though.
No, they didn't have guns.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, enjoy your wine and the record. The New Reality is out right now. Came out December 1st, and it's a great stocking stuffer for everybody, and we'll see you here in Detroit hopefully sometime in the future.
All right, Meltdown, thanks for the interview. Appreciate it, man. Take care and have happy holidays.
There you have it, Jeff Tate on the Radio Chatter Podcast. You know who Jeff Tate reminds me of a little bit? David Draiman from Disturbed. They both got great voices. They both, I mean, just killer singers. And when you interview them, they're both real deliberate. There are certain people that kind of just mail in interviews, kind of stocky answers, you know, different things like that. Both those guys are thinkers. I just love talking to them. And you really got to be on your toes. You just can't, you know, you just can't throw out garbage because they'll give you garbage back. You know what I'm saying? And both of them I respect a ton. So there you have it. Jeff Tate from Operation Mindcrime, at least for the time being, right here on the Radio Chatter Podcast. Like I said in the beginning, thank you guys so much for following me this year at Meltdown WRIF on Twitter and Facebook and what have you, and Instagram as well. And hopefully you guys have a great Christmas, New Year's, and we'll do it all over in 2018, hopefully bigger and better than ever.